Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sana Cody Way, straight off from Taino Radio. And guess what? Thank you for tuning in. This is Indigenous Power Hour, activism, MMIW and relatives with 4-1. Let's hear Northern Cree. Hey, what an amazing song. We always play the full song because we're here to support murder, missing, indigenous women and relatives. 4-1, what's up today, Friday
what
night?
What's up? Thank you. And I'm feeling good. I don't know. There's just something about Northern Cree, man. Makes me feel good. Makes me ready. You know what I mean?
There's no joke, man. Ain't no joke. We got, you know, it's a 6-minute song, but, man, it puts me in that trance. What do you think?
Heck yeah. Makes me feel like healing, you know?
That's right. So what's going on? Another Friday night, Indigenous Power Hour. What do you think?
Well, I think that the healing continues, you know?
That's right.
It's going to take a minute. It's in our DNA. And, I just kind of wanted to, follow up with, our missing and murdered relatives. And I wanted to take away some of that false dominance that has been placed on us as a nation and as a people
by
white supremacy. Because, Santa Cruz,
I was looking at the numbers.
And, we're a nation of over 3 million. And the numbers for MMIR with Canada, their numbers included past, present, because a lot of work has gone in to getting that data, especially in these last 2 years. The work here in Nebraska that was done, that was LB 154, and that was passed June 1st of, implemented, I should say. The report by the Nebraska State Patrol and everything was to be turned in, June 1st. Of last year. And so June 1st, the State Patrol came back in their report findings. They found that in this area that more men and boys are going missing, and that happens to be true in some other Midwest areas, but out there in California and your Montana area, it's real heavy too. The men are going missing. And so with that number, with all the numbers combined, the number is I'm gonna put it out there. So what is being reported is that it's just a little over 6,000 with past and present numbers. But I'm gonna
6,000
because I know how the system works. I know the misclassification. I have to tell you there is a story, and I was actually asked to share about it, and I think I am in a future show. But we had a sister here who walked into a Lincoln hospital with head trauma and never walked out again. She died 3 days later. And they didn't bother to notify the next of kin. She sat in the corners for, what was it? I want to say almost 2 months. And finally, you know, just a relative, not even a blood relative, but a relative, went and claimed her, went and claimed her, you know. And they hurried up and cremated her remains and didn't even notify the next of kin.
Oh.
And they didn't even do an investigation. And she died of blunt head, you know, trauma to the head.
That's terrible. You know, trauma to the head or to the head trauma?
Yeah, blunt force trauma to the head. Didn't bother letting her next of kin in, nothing. Let nobody know. And they cremated her remains. So just because I know how the system works, you know, I know many of our relatives have gone probably in another category, been misidentified, you know, so that part alone. So could you imagine her family out here looking for her, and here she's been dead, sitting in the corner as some remains? Because they reported her as another race.
Wow.
You know?
That's not right.
So I already know. So just the misclassification alone, you know, because here and a lot of other places, I assume just the same way that, you know, we were labeled as black,
right,
white, red, whatever. So do many of our relatives. So I'm going to put that number for indigenous men,
awesome,
women. I'm going to put that number closer to 10,000 than the reported 5,000. You know, it's a little over 5,000, maybe closer to 6,000 that is reported for indigenous. So with a nation of over 3 million, that almost seems like it's a fear tactic. You know, it's one of those things that keep us on the reservation or keeps us in the ghetto. You know,
prisoners of war.
Absolutely. And
wow.
I hate to say it, but even the red dress, you know, how that is the representation for our sisters. It's a trigger. Because now when I look at red dresses, I don't even see the medicine in it. That the color red that we normally associate red with being. Now it's a trigger for me. You know, anytime
big
I see
trigger.
A red dress.
Big trigger.
A trauma trigger, absolutely. Immediate fear. That's immediately what my mind goes to when I see a red dress. And we just had a young lady come out with a red dress design in honor of our sisters. And you should have heard the backlash she got from some of our sisters. Because it was a beautiful dress. It was sexy. It was very womanly. It was, you know, modern, you know? And she got nothing but backlash because she symbolized or she made the dress sexy. She made it a compliment to our sisters wearing it in memory of our lost.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, that's deep.
And so, you know, there was just another tribe that had did the red dress outline in I want to say some light. You know, a big visual, you know, and all they did was do nothing but trigger a a trauma response. It triggered a very scared response. And I don't know, to take the healing from, colors, because, when a mother, gives birth to her child, the colors of your regalia or your medicine bag often come from the colors your mother, that came to her during the birthing process.
Hmm.
So the colors my mother saw were medicine colors. And so red has always been a part of my regalia, And now when I see red, it's almost like fear. I instead of seeing it for something of help and something that illustrates, who we are, because, we live in color. We're not on this black and white. We have to do away with this black and white thinking. We're not colorblind. We can't live in a colorblind society, because that's how we became invisible.
Yeah, right.
Black and white, And so, it is an epidemic that ours are going missing. But then when you start breaking those numbers down again, a big part of those numbers is because of us. It's our own doing it to our own.
Exactly.
So we, although this is a everybody problem, because we've got 60,000 black women going missing, we've got Asians, we've got all of, every group is affected by murder or missing, correct?
Exactly. Murdered or missing.
Yeah, we can't approach this to life on a macro scale. Because we're not all in solidarity about putting an end to it. So we're going to have to microtize it a little bit.
Exactly.
And deal with it on a level that we can put an end to it. How can we stop our indigenous from going missing or murdered? And the first step to that, it starts with us.
That's right.
How do we begin? We begin by looking out after our own. We've got to, there's a lot of reservations with a lot of land. And we have to stop thinking like a reservation and start thinking like a nation. And in order to do that, we got to hang that ego, that tribal ego up, and we've got to get some unity amongst us, amongst the indigenous,
That's right. It's not about me. It's about we.
We. Absolutely.
Because
it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's about all of us. And I think that part right there, just starting a patrol. Because we can't leave it up to tribal police.
Tribal police.
You know what I mean? They're part of the problem, because when you look at, because, you know, indigenous are the highest number to be killed in police contact and in law enforcement interactions. Indigenous are the have the highest numbers, you know. And so most of those, unfortunately, have to do with tribal police killing our own. You know, who is part of the tribal police? You know, who law enforcement? It's usually our own, right? Not too often are tribal police non-white. They're usually those that are indigenous. And, you know, those interactions, unfortunately it's at the hands of our own.
You know, I'm going to share something. Here in New York City yesterday, it was history. For the first time in New York history, the New York City Council voted to end qualified immunity to police officers. So right now, it's going to happen with this new law. The NYPD, if any police man or woman breaks the law, right, what's going to happen is they can get sued by a citizen. They can get sued. They can sue the city, and they can sue the police officer. And guess what? The comments from the police union, you know what they said? Oh, this is a horrible law, because now police are going to be afraid to be aggressive. Really? That's what you're concerned about? That they're not going to be aggressive anymore? That was the union comment.
It's going to be real interesting with this Floyd trial.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think that he's going to be found guilty. And the only reason why I say that is because that'll overturn any past.
Oh, right.
You know, court cases. So that's why I don't think it's going to be passed.
This is in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
And that's heavily Native land.
And they are known. St. Paul, Minneapolis police, they're police? Oh, they are known for killing.
And that's original absolutely. Home. Wow.
Yeah, because their jail, you know, is you have to go through a tunnel. They call it killer tunnel. And many don't make it out alive.
Oh, my God, that's horrible. What? And this is the homelands of the Lakotas, right? Minnesota. Wow.
Jeez. You know what I'm saying? And so
1800s, right?
Yeah. And, you know, we just had an officer shot in the face last week.
What?
Here, up in Omaha. Up in Omaha. So it's bad here. So we've had two officers now. Officer Herrera, unfortunately, just lost his life about a month ago. So the relationship with the police and citizens is at an all-time low right now. They are doing us bad out here. So people are gunned up, and the officer that was just shot in his face, excuse me, it was a shoplifting incident at the mall.
Wow.
Yeah,
and what happened?
A simple shoplifting.
And they got all aggressive, right?
Yep. So fortunately, the officer has survived, you know, but that's part of the cut in the life expectancy of our youth of color. It's why they die, you know, that they don't have a long life expectancy. It's because of the interaction with law enforcement and those of color. So it's a stress, you know.
Right.
You know, and here, Nebraska has the is known for its high profiling. And what they do is they create an addiction for incarceration.
Yeah.
And so it's just a continuous cycle. And we've got to, you know, we've got to improve that all the way around, because that's when people start taking law into their own hands. When you know you can't call the police.
Right.
You know, like, you know, should you have an issue, supposed to be able to call law enforcement and get, and have them handle it. Not here.
Yeah.
When
you don't want to
call the
police.
You're getting killed or you're getting arrested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why we have so many, you know, people, you know, that's why our violence is so high. People would rather take law into their own hands because they don't trust law enforcement. So just since George Floyd has lost his life, we've actually had, you know, a gentleman shot and murdered right afterwards.
Right.
Shot in the back 6 times in his mother's driveway.
Damn. That's,
you know,
out of control.
It is. It is. And so can you imagine the outcome?
Well, let me ask you a question. Yeah, no, it's just, if that happens, if that police officer, the murderer, gets off, it's going to be chaos all over again.
They've been getting off.
Well, let me ask you a question. In your experience as an ambassador for missing and murdered Indigenous women relatives, have you heard of police covering up these cases or not really working hard to find these missing women? And you
absolutely
find that they get
well, here
bribes?
They don't even take a report. Here they don't even take a report.
Wait, if someone's missing, they don't take a report?
They weren't. That's why we had to go to the Judiciary Committee. That's what LB 154 was about. They weren't even compiling reports. They weren't even taking them. They weren't even recording them.
No, that's not right.
Well, because, you know, you got to remind yourself. And, you know, we have to remind ourselves that there is no law. There is no law in the United States of America. Law enforcement has to go after anyone who commits crimes against Indigenous.
There's no law to protect. It's only on the res, right?
Not even on the res anymore, because that was the violence against women.
Wow.
And Indigenous, that's the law or the how they refer to it. It's not a law when you bring up a I can't think of what that's called, but basically it's a law, you know, because right now that's what we're trying to get on.
Okay.
Is a law to pass that says law enforcement has to go after predators, you know, or people who commit crimes against Indigenous. That's how far behind, you know, that's how
far from having rights of, you know, American citizens that we are away from. We don't have, there is no law. They don't have to.
And then there's the other side where the native commits a crime on the res, and he's found innocent in tribal court. The FBI can come in and try the same crime in federal court. There's no double jeopardy.
Yeah.
He can be found guilty in federal court but innocent in tribal court. Like, what the hell is that? No, that doesn't happen in the U.S. That's double jeopardy. That doesn't exist. So a lot of people go to jail for that. If the feds want to set you up, or, you know, they're a lot more lenient. And they have a lot more leeway.
So you have indigenous on the res, right, on federal land, doing fed time for literally misdemeanors. So if you commit child abuse or an assault or, you know, maybe a driving infraction, oh yeah, you go fed for that. And like areas like in Sioux City, Iowa, there's no clear cut like line or something to say you are now on federal land. And we have a couple spots here in Nebraska that are international land.
Interesting.
Like your Kawasaki plants and manufacturing foreign, you know, companies that have come to set up. They've deemed that land international.
Interesting.
So we got a lot of fight. We got a lot of fight to do.
Yeah, this is colossal. It's a colossal work, but, you know, with the world of information and Facebook and the media, you know, we can use that as an advantage to spread this. Taino Radio, to spread this knowledge.
We've got to dismantle this system.
It's out of control.
It is. And please believe me, our votes haven't mattered since 1931. And we didn't even have the right to vote in 1931.
Well, hey, I remember in the last election, 2016, in places where you're from, or the Dakotas, they were Native Americans. No. Native or citizen, U.S. citizen, or regular Americans, needed to provide an address, right, to vote.
Yes.
And most natives have P.O. boxes. Most natives have P.O. boxes. And you can't use a P.O. box. You can't use a P.O. box to vote.
Nope.
And that's like, are you kidding me?
Our mail still is delivered by Pony Express back home. Not even delivered by the United States Postal Service. It's a brown truck that says Pony Express on it.
Are you kidding me? This is like...
I'm not kidding you.
Pony Express. I haven't heard that expression since John Wayne movies, huh?
And, like, say you have stuff from Amazon or anything like that, they don't even...
Right.
They won't deliver you.
They won't deliver it?
On the res. No. You have to have it delivered to a United States Postal Service recognized address.
That's it.
You know?
You know where I encountered that too? In Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico, they have P.O. boxes.
Right.
And a lot of stuff you can't receive. Is it a P.O. box? It's just out of control.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
And guess
how dare
what?
They do. Yes.
Did you hear about the law in Georgia today?
Let's hear about it.
In Georgia, they passed some, check this out. You know, Georgia, it's a lot of African Americans, they're natives. They passed a law now, voter laws, that if you, the voting, what do you call that? The voting, the polls, the polling stations,
mm-hmm.
they close at 5 p.m. And most natives, African Americans, Hispanics, whatever, they usually work two jobs. They won't be able to get there to vote. Most people don't leave work till 5 or 6, 7, 8. Now they can't vote.
Well, they're doing that too with the voting by mail. It's a racist system. And I hate to say this, but even the ones that look like us, that's merely an act of incorporating them for corruption.
That's it. And
you know?
Yes. Jim Crow. Jim Crow got a Jim Crow got a new suit.
Yep. So the only way is we've got to stop thinking that our vote matters, because it hasn't. There is no freedom in a two-party democracy. There's no freedom in democracy. So why vote?
Yeah.
Why vote? All we do by voting is keep the system in place. We have to dismantle it.
That's a colossal work in itself.
But it's not hard. It's not hard. You know, we can create our own media, because that's one of the areas. Stop loading.
Taino Radio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, entertainment. Sports. How we eat. Why do we keep going to the grocery store when we can create our own gardens?
When we can
create our own, you know, ways of receiving, you know, if you're a meat eater, you know, we ain't gotta go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know? We gotta support one another.
Food sovereignty. That's a great weapon against the native people of color, taking away our food.
Right.
Taking away our traditional foods.
Yeah, that's why diabetes is so prevalent. Because we don't have access, you know, like especially in my tribe, you know, we were big on buffalo, elk, you know, very lean meat. We've got other
very lean, very lean.
Who ate off of caribou.
That's right. Sure.
You know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it was during certain seasons, too. It wasn't like every day you ate caribou. It was like during certain seasons, right? And the buffalo as well. And it was a balance, right?
No. I mean, no, we had it all the time. We had access to it. You know? I mean, this was free range at one time.
See, that's what happens. He watches Dance of the Wolves so many times.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin Costner said, Tatanka. You put sugar in a damn coffee. What the hell is that? See, that's what diabetes right there. They put sugar in a coffee, remember? With Kicking Bird.
Yeah, you know.
Here's sugar. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it, Kicking Bird.
Yes. And, you know, honey is a very healing sweetener. And you can preserve it for thousands of years and it'd still be good. So how they mess with our honey? They mess with it by messing with the bees.
Ah, the bees, yeah, man.
You know, that is our most important of all insects, of all, I mean, the bee is almost, you know, where life is, next to water.
Yeah,
you know?
The bees, right? The bees transfer up the pollen and stuff. And they...
Absolutely. And so how they're killing them is by wanting those weed-free lawns.
You know?
And do you know the benefits of dandelion? Dandelion is not a weed. Bubble tea that the Asians use. I mean, we have it. We just don't call it bubble tea. We call it dandelion tea. You know?
Bubble tea, right? Yo, I had some bubble tea last week. Yeah.
Yes, remember I was telling you, get on that.
Yeah, I went
get
to Chinatown. And, you know, it's interesting. They sell bubble tea, and then they put those little pellets in the tea.
Yeah.
In Chinatown. And those little pellets are made out of tapioca, which is yuca, which is Taino.
Yeah.
So what's causing
all this? And I'll never understand is how they place food. And made it a race. You know, oh, this is soul food, or this is, you know, even when you break down the soul food diet, that was nothing but slop and leftovers.
That's right. And then,
you know,
the ration line showed up. The ration line.
And look what they're trying to do now. They're trying to do the ration lines again. Colorado had just stated, what was it? Colorado and Nebraska, for one, I know it's starting, they're focusing it because, you know, we're the heartland of where a lot of beef comes from, you know. And so now they've declared, I don't know, Fridays is beef day. And that's that rationing stuff they did back in, you know, the First World War. Where they designated certain days, and then they fought, well, and then before that was Christianity with their Lent.
Right.
You know? So we've got to decolonize, and we've got to remember, you know? There is so much medicine in the food we eat.
You know, for anyone who's listening, there's a great documentary on Netflix. It's called What the Health. What the Health. It's the follow-up documentary.
Like,
yeah, it's the follow-up documentary of Cowspiracy, you know, and everyone has to watch that movie, What the Health, because it talks about where diet. They break down the guy who produces, they break down how, you know, they speak to a lot of these doctors, these scientists who actually give you the biology and the chemistry of food in the body, how body will process it. And it really breaks it down how the racism in the food, where, you know, milk, cheese, all this processed food, you know, the cold cuts, it's all poisonous. The food can't break this down. So it goes in your bloodstream, and that's where you get the diabetes.
Absolutely.
So not necessarily the sugar that gives you the diabetes. And even refined sugar is not good for you. That has a whole different issue, you know, obesity and all that. But
right.
The body can get rid of it. Either through energy, you know, burning it, or it gets converted into fat. But the sugar found in meat, cheese, processed meats, and all that, which on the res, you know, I've seen it. You know, those cold cuts. When you go on the going to inner cities here, the cold cuts.
Yeah.
That stuff kills you. It stays in your bloodstream. Your body can't get rid of it.
That's where your gout comes from. Uric acid, a buildup of uric acid.
And it's interesting because as little kids, you go to the cafeteria, right? What do you see? Oh, milk is good for you. You know? Pizza Fridays, you know? These kids are innocent. We're innocent when we're kids. No.
Right.
But why are they pumping us with this? Oh, check this out. Byproduct meat, like the cold cuts and all that, it's on the same list as poisons, like asbestos, on the same governmental list.
Yep.
So why is the USDA approving this for consumption?
Depopulation control.
Gee, man. Spam. What the hell spam comes from?
I don't know. Or that potted meat. About Dollar? What is Dollar Tree meat? And you notice when you go to the food nets, at least around here, it's always pastries. High-calorie food. And look at the food. So how did they jack us on the res? They did it by killing our food source.
That's it.
Putting us on barren land until they found out that our land was full of minerals and precious metals. You know?
Exactly.
And what about Sanagori? Did you notice the narrative change with our new interior secretary?
Tell me about
it. You notice that narrative? The narrative changed the next day after she was elected. Went into tribes hoping that she will make drilling easier. Who is our interior secretary that was just nominated?
Wait a second. Who said they want to make it easier now to drill?
Several tribes is hoping Ms. Deb, with her being elected as the new interior secretary,
right,
that she will make drilling easier.
No, that can't happen.
And so what that's about is seeking the same pay, Indigenous receiving the same pay for utility companies, you know, because, you know, the argument for the longest was how the white rancher or whatever would get paid $800 an acre for the gas line or the electric line or the fiber optics to run through their land, and then they'd pay the native $8 for the same land.
That's crazy.
You know? And that isn't why I've been out there fighting the pipeline. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that
was
not no equal pay. Right. I've
been
out there fighting a good fight, you know, and, you know, I just not too long ago had to speak with the Army, because that's who they sent the Army, the engineers.
Right.
For the report that came back that, you know, they were looking for to say that, you know, that the pipeline is a threat, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I went and I spoke to them. I've done a lot of speaking, a lot of, you know, raising that awareness. But, you know, it was kind of like seeing the narrative change up in White Cliff, outside of Pine Ridge. You know,
wow.
Here I went up, you know, here we were all under the, you know, the ideology that we were there fighting the fight against them to stop, you know, the selling of the alcohol, you know, poisoning our people, you know, because that little small town there ain't but maybe 100 people, and they had the highest sales in the whole United States just off of the alcohol sales outside of Pine Ridge. And
wow, that's
crazy. Little trick, yeah, but let me tell you how the narrative changed. A lot of us were used in that. What it all boiled down to it was there was a fight over the indigenous there wanting to sell the alcohol to its own instead of having the whites, and about lifting the ban of dry reservations. It wasn't about stopping the poisoning.
Right.
I don't know what we're going to do.
This is out of
control. I really don't. It is, and time to remember people.
What I'm wondering is this whole COVID-19 is a smokescreen, you know, because it's kind of sticking, it's making people more depressed, anxiety, death.
Suicides,
and it's taking off our, it's wow.
Look at all the anti-protesting laws that have been passed in this time. With the COVID distraction. Now FEMA's offering burial expenses to pay for burial expenses for families that have lost members to COVID. And that one is a little hard to understand. That right there is saying is some sort of claim of responsibility, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. It's terrible. And
I don't know
disease.
How I feel about my government trying to kill me and my people, because that's who COVID has affected. That's how you know COVID was man-made. Viruses do not discriminate. When they discriminate, that's when you know they're man-made.
There's something going on where it's killing people of color.
Right.
Huge numbers.
Huge. Huge.
Disproportionately.
So,
it's taking out people of color.
It is. It is.
Especially the young.
More their depopulation tactics. Like
but
the bird flu in China.
It's taking out young people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, we should do a show just on that. You know, we should just do a show on that, the Power Hour activism. Because a lot of people come to me, you know, and they talk about this COVID, they're scared. Everyone's anxious. From kids 4 years old, can't sleep, you know.
Right.
But here's the thing. More and more people are saying there's something fishy going on. Why are we dying and not like white people dying?
Right.
No.
People
wake
up.
And it's like people are questioning, you know, and it's like, damn.
They need to question.
And you know, like here in New York City, you know, they shut us down for a while, you know. But now it's like the virus is still active, stronger than ever with the new virus. But now they want to open stuff up. They want to still open up the theaters. They want, you know, they're saying it's vaccination. You don't have to wear your mask if there's two people vaccinated, whatever. I'm like, wait a minute. That vaccination is not perfect. Like, wait a minute. It's still a percentage. You can get it. And you can still get it.
Right.
It's like, why are we taking off our masks? I don't know. It's just crazy. It's chaos.
Well, look at is before the you know, the push for the vaccine, they, like Ticketmaster said, put out an article stating that that's how ticket sales were going to go, was according to record of vaccination.
Record of vaccination? I don't get that.
Yeah, you had to have the COVID vaccination now in order to buy tickets to major events hosted by Ticketmaster.
Oh, I understand. Wow. So it's like the, I know Europe was talking about that as well. Europe?
So.
About.
Why?
Yeah. That the only people that are allowed in that country, there's certain parts of Europe, the only way you can enter the country is if you have a vaccine card.
Well, we're about to be under another lockdown here in the Midwest because we just had a daycare up in Omaha with 100 positive COVID results with the European strain, the strain from Europe.
Yes, the European, the strands from England,
yeah.
I believe.
Yep. So we just had a daycare up in Omaha with 100 positive cases.
Wow. And you know, this is all triggers for us, you know, the smallpox. People in Native history, some smallpox. What do you think about that? Hey,
population.
I was talking to my good friend of mine. He's a scientist. He works in a lab, and he told me that viruses are very aggressive. I mean, viruses are very competitive, and this is why a lot of people haven't gotten flus or colds, because the virus, the COVID, has been more aggressive in taking people out. So there might be enough.
Well, this is what it's done. It has that pandemic. Now, you got to understand the word pan.
See love through my eyes, my soldier. Some for pride, even other planets are clean. So I'll be there for you to make sure you never fall. So please stand tall. If I could erase your three high anti-cop thoughts, baby, think not. What I gotta do for one inhale of your essence, find all the memories of you deep up in it.
Yo, that is, my studio is haunted. Yo, that's not even power hour. I mean, this is not power anymore. This is like paranormal hour. What's going on?
Right. No
that
doubt.
That just came on. My soldiers.
Well, that's a good song to come on because that's what we all need to be right now, our soldiers.
No.
You know?
I think the answer is just press the button. The answer is to just press the button. I couldn't believe it. It was on zero. It's loud.
Wow. But do you recall what you just said about what? Okay, so the word pandemic.
Right.
Pan is that demonic god. Unless we break down the word pandemic. So it's pan demonic for one. But what did you say about what it has happened, what has caused people to be? Extreme stress, death, suicide, anxiety.
Yep. So a lot of anxiety.
What does that affect? That affects our immune system.
That's right. It knocks us down.
Knocks it down, which makes, we already live in fear as it is on a daily basis. So it's knocked and it's taken, you know, the medicine away from us and given so much doubt to the immune system we have.
Definitely.
You know,
terrible.
We're not even thinking about it. We just want to go out and buy all this medicine and stuff that and get these vaccines that are just going to further, you know, knock us into the ground, you know? We have a superior immune system. We should fight this, but we have to think like that. We have to remember that we are the medicine. And remember that you are what you eat.
But if we're eating bad food, a lot of animal fat, chemicals.
Right,
and
so get away from that colonized diet and go back to the original diet.
No, and that's it.
We've got to decolonize in every aspect of life the way we know it right now.
Decolonize. Well, we got to decolonize our leaders too, our native leaders, because they're not.
Absolutely.
Because they're following marching
orders. No, we need
some
leaders. We need some leaders, because that's what we're lacking.
Yeah, because they're following marching orders. You know, they're following
step
their,
up.
I mean, they're
support one
following
another. Stop hating on everybody.
Yep. Well, this is, you know, we cover a lot of topics today in this. So Power Hour, Indigenous Activism. So we can go all night long, but we ran out of time. We ran out of time, my folks. Thank you for downloading this show. All you listeners out there, we're going to bring you some good stuff. We're going to keep this Power Hour on Friday evening going strong. But 4-1, I'd like to thank you again for being on the show, doing your thing, sharing
you.
Your knowledge, you know, giving
thank
hope.
You,
yeah, man, thank you. And giving hope to those that don't have any hope. We just need to tell them there is hope, you know?
There is hope, and we are the medicine. We are the truth.
Yes. And I've been telling people what you taught me. A lot of the women that are under domestic violence, and a lot of the girls who are that I treat that are 14 years old, and
yep.
and the men on the street treat them like they're 21 year olds.
Yep.
You know, and you know, I tell them to call. When you call 911, ask for pepperoni pizza.
Absolutely.
You know, little
that's
anchovies.
Real deal.
And they're gonna help you out. They'll know where you are. You know. And, it's scary out there, right? 911, ask for pizza, right? Order some pizza.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me you'd like to place an order for a pizza.
You know, I got a couple of clients. They're 14. They look 21. And sometimes they come to the office petrified. It's like, oh, what happened? What's going on? And it says, it was like, it's hard to come here to see you because of the men. You know, the nasty remarks, and they try to touch them and stuff. It's really hard to be a woman now, to be a young lady. You know, it's very hard to be a teenage woman. So call, if you feel, if you're being harassed, you're being followed, call for that pepperoni pizza.
Yep.
911, right?
Absolutely.
So,
and be aware of your surroundings. Stop thinking that you can just come and go as you please. You got to let somebody know your whereabouts.
That's right.
We got to be, and we have to make sure, you know, we've got to be present. We've got to be present in our children's lives.
You know what happened before we end the show? I was on a subway, right? This was like maybe a month ago. It was freezing cold, right?
Yeah.
And there was these two African-American, I would say they're like maybe 16, 17, around there. Maybe a little older. I'll give it to 8. Nah, they were like in their mid-teens. One was dressed well, with no coat. The other one was dressed so-so, with slippers, no socks, and a sweat jacket, whatever. And Grant, it was like 20 degrees that day, you know, and they got into the... And they got into the subway. And I was looking at them. I'm like, where are they going? They're not dressed
right.
For the occasion. It's like, what the world? What's going on? You know, I try to like read their minds, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was really scared for them. Like, are they running away? You know, and then.
Or.
Huh?
Oh, I was just going to say, or they had no one to show them how to get dressed.
Okay. Exactly. And then.
They don't have, you know, no one.
Oh,
and that may
have
very well been the only clothes they had is what you've seen on their back.
Yep, and one had a t-shirt, actually. Yes, he had a t-shirt. He was dressed well, but a t-shirt only. I'm like, this is 20 degrees. So I was thinking about what we were saying before about the old warrior societies having groups out there. Like what are we doing to help the youth, you know? Helping victims, you know? Oh,
we ain't
man.
Doing shit. Sorry. We're not doing nothing. And then we have to, our men
yeah.
have to act like men, and our women have to act like women.
Yeah, so it's hard. It's hard. It's chaotic. But you know what? You got hope here at Taino Radio, Indigenous Power Hour. There's hope. There's hope. I'm going to end the show with Creator, okay? Who wrote Creator again?
Fall One.
So listen, Fall One, I'll see you back next week. We're going to hook this up. We're going to have a fun show next week. We're trying to get some guest stars in here. And hey, check it out, Fall One. I'm going to throw it out there. Can we talk about, once again, the whole thing about... the whole dynamic of predators on the res or trying to prey on Native women and children. Can we talk about that
Absolutely.
Next week? Because I get a lot of emails about that, about this
Absolutely.
Dynamic of
yes.
leaders, tribal leaders, covering up. And I'll try to get a guest. I'll try to get a guest next week on this. But people want to know about that. I've been getting some emails about pedophilia in the Native world.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. So let's do it up. Pedophilia in
Thank
indigenous
you. Thank you, people of Turtle Island. Thank you. And help is on
guys.
The way.
We have to expose these monsters. They're around. They're lurking. They're watching. They're being more creative
we
now because I don't know.
And what's real important is we have to study our enemy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, we have to. We have to watch them carefully. Watch your
That's
back.
That's the art of war. That's the art of war, is knowing your enemy. And we don't.
I've been studying that, actually. I downloaded the art of war. And it's pretty powerful. So
it is.
So let's end the show here. And listen, we're going to be in touch next Friday. Tune in. Pedophilia, predators in indigenous nations. What do you think about that? All right, 4-1, let's do it. Let's listen to the people, what they want. All right, here's his creator.
Cycle breakers, one of the few not broken by the cycle, man with the wrong direction. but I'm not live. But I'm not live. Creator, can you hear me? I need you right now.
Right now.